And joining us right now is John Pizzarelli. We actually had him on the show a few years ago, one of the best contemporary singers out there. But he's become actually more famous since the last time he came on the show by doing the ads for Foxwoods. That's right. He's the guy that, you know, that you hear, life is good, life is sweet. Grab yourself a front row seat. Let's meet and have a ball. Let's live for the wonder of it all. Well, now that's something it's really interesting. Here it is. It's a commercial. You get paid to do commercials, but in actuality, it not only promotes Foxwood, but promotes you as well.
Oh, you know, I was up at Newport opening the jazz festival last weekend, and you know, there were people who came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I got tickets through a friend or something, and they said they were going to see, and I didn't know who you were, and then they said, you know, he's the guy who sings that Foxwoods jingle. So. I'm happy to be that guy.
The coolest part is that actually, you know, you used to initially sing it and no one saw you, but now you become like an actor in the commercials, and with the little Wizard of Oz parody, that, you know, they come out and do the wizard singing. It's kind of cool that you actually become quite a part of these commercials.
Yeah, they've done a really fun job in the last couple of years with the new little bits and the what was the magic chip episode.
Yeah, I like that.
And now they're going to do I got some new ones for the end of November. So when I get there, they just say, "Are you ready for your shrug?" You know, so I go in and I'm always right at the end, and I go, "Hey."
So. Now, when you go there, do you actually gamble?
Oh, I like the roulette wheel myself. I'm a roulette player.
Really?
And my brother and I get goofy about it. You know, we start to think about the whole psychology of the wheel. Yeah, I told you 23. Oh, you know, or 27. Play Carlton Fisk. You know, we can't think of, you know, we think of baseball players, you know.
So when you go to the table, do you actually say, "Spin the wheel, round and round we go"?
Sometimes. Unfortunately, if I have one too many frescas, that's what happens.
Now, do you ever win a lot or lose a lot there?
I have won at the roulette wheel, and I've lost at the roulette wheel, so I think I break even.
Yeah, you don't like gamble tons of money, do you?
No. I mean, this is not, I'm not Michael Jordan when it comes to gambling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to, a couple hundred, if I'm up there and I have some fun, that's about it.
Now, you were a guy from a musical background. I mean, the whole family. Your dad is a very well-known contemporary guitarist, jazz guitarist, actually, and I guess
George Benson, that'd be my dad.
Yeah, no. Bucky. Bucky's pretty well-known legend there in guitar.
Sure is, and my dad just turned 80 years old this year, and he's still playing and swinging and rediscovering and discovering great things about the guitar every day. He's a great inspiration, and he's just an amazing musician. Very lucky to have someone like that in my life, and also to have a person like that in my life who's my father.
Now, you of course, tour with, you go around with, you have a quartet, and I know that your wife is part of it, as well as your brother and your dad, too, on occasion?
Yeah, from time to time, my dad and Jessica come out with my quartet. They call it the First Family of Cool, or the Von Trapps on Martinis, depending on where we are. Mm. And we have a lot of fun. Jesse's made some great records in the last couple of years, and of course, my father's just wonderful to be around. So it is a family affair at times.
How did you meet Jessica?
We did a Broadway show called Dream. It was a tribute to Johnny Mercer. We did it about 10 years ago, and she sang Skylark, and I accompanied her, and the rest is history.
Wow. There was an instant chemistry?
Yeah, she's got a great sense of humor. She was beautiful. She sings great. We have all the same love. She thought Fenway Park was like going to church, and I said, well, that's enough. All I need to know.
Now, you're not from around here, though, are you?
No, I'm actually from New Jersey, but my first baseball memory was Carl Yastrzemski,
uh-huh,
of 1967, and Jim Longborg and that gang, and so yeah. I was always sort of had the Red Sox in my blood.
Yeah, I'm the same, actually. You're younger than I am by a few years, but those are my memories as well, the 1967 World Series and Yaz with his Triple Crown year, and Lomborg, who later got hurt skiing and never was the same again.
Right, and who I found out recently is a fan of mine and signed a picture for me and sent it to me. And so it's interesting how the world turns, but that was always sort of, I remember my dad taking us up there in the late 60s, we saw a Yankee Red Sox game up there. So it was fun. I've had my kids up to Fenway, and I just love the team.
Lomborg is a dentist now, which is kind of cool.
That's right.
Yeah, he got educated.
Yeah,
that was a smart thing to do. So I guess you were playing with your dad when you were like 20, right?
I started when I was 20 playing professionally and on a steady basis with my dad, and we played anywhere and everywhere for like 10 years. And in the process, I found the Nat King Cole Trio, and we would listen to that, and I loved all that material, Straighten Up and Fly Right and Route 66 and things like that, so I learned all those songs and would sing them like we would play concerts. And then in the middle, my dad, they'd sing a couple of songs. I'd sing Route 66 and Paper Moon, and then I made a couple of records in the 80s and then made one for Chesky in 1990 with Dave McKenna and Connie Kay, Milt Hinton, Clark Terry, and my dad. It was called My Blue Heaven. And that sort of put me on the local map anyway and got me out there with my own group. So I've been doing it in my own group now for about 16 years.
You've been doing a lot of touring, a lot of albums, and in fact, I don't have any. I had one of them, the one that one of the older ones. Might have been Dear Mr. Cole.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the one with Benny Green and Christian McBride.
Yeah, I think that's when we interviewed you last.
That was really one of my first real successful records, and I pretty much made a record a year for about 16 years now.
And I haven't got any of the other ones. Your PR people are remiss. In fact, I'd love to get the one with the Beatles and Cole. So.
Well, I will tell them all. I'll pass that all off to them. We'll get you a Pizzarelli box set.
It's kind of interesting when you think about it, the differentials of all the different things that you do here, the variety of even though the music is the sound is the same,
right?
You're tackling different kind of music, like going from Nat King Cole to the Beatles. Tell me a little bit about your selection and how you do that stuff.
Well, you made an excellent point, and that's that the sound is the same. Is that the style of music I've found to be is so wonderful. I love playing jazz and swing jazz and the style of Count Basie and Woody Herman and Benny Goodman and Nat Cole, and I've been trying to find different kinds of music that I can bring to that table. So the Beatle record was a perfect example of that. With I did it with a big band and some strings, and Don Sobeski was really the key to that record. And we approached it like, these aren't Beatles songs; these are standard songs, and we're going to play them as if they were written by Walter Donaldson or Jerome Kern or Cole Porter or Antonio Carlos Jobim. And that was basically the idea, to love the style of music, but try to bring other songs to the style and in a sense, just sort of stretch the songbook, as it were.
Mm. Yeah, I really love that style of music. It's interesting to note. I mean, there are not that many people doing it. There are some, and we've had a few of them on the show here, but... I love that kind of music, and I don't think it's just people my age and your age that like it. I think that there's a lot of young people that kind of appreciate that sound from the 1940s and 50s.
Sure, and I think it's when it's done right and the right people are involved, it's fantastic. I mean, the Foxwoods commercial is in a sense a great example of that, because it's just a swinging big band. Don Sobeski wrote the chart, and the sound of the song it's an exciting 30-second commercial, really, for what big band music can do right now. It's just that style of music is vibrant, and that's what we try to do with it. So when you have great arrangers like John Clayton on Dear Mr. Sinatra or Don Sobeski on some other things that I've done with him, you can really see how the music isn't just about 1940 or 1950. It's really a style of music that continues to grow.
Right. Yeah, The new CD, I wanted to talk about that, because you actually had a connection to Frank Sinatra. I'm a huge fan of Frank Sinatra's music. We've had his son Frank Jr. on, and his daughter Nancy on as well. And,
oh, wonderful.
I think that he's an icon that can't be matched by too many people.
Right.
And I know that you had personal interaction with him, so tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. I got to open about 20 shows for Frank at the... In the 90s, 1993, as a matter of fact. We did the beginning of June, we did a number of dates in Germany, and then in September I did about 18 dates in the States. So it was really, there was nothing quite like opening a Frank Sinatra show. I had my quartet in front of the big band, and we'd play about 25 minutes, and then Frank would come on. And I even got to meet him before one of the shows, and his line of infamy to me was, "Eat something, you look bad." So it was quite fun.
Now, you were actually there when he celebrated his 80th birthday at Carnegie, right?
Yeah, they had a big Carnegie Hall concert, and it was over three nights. Rosie Clooney, Linda Ronstadt, Vic Damone, Frank Sinatra Jr. with Bill Miller on piano, who just passed away. And a great, just a, a great 3 days of music. My dad and I played I Don't Know Why I Love You Like I Do, which was there was an old Sinatra record of that George Van Epps, the guitar player, had opened on guitar, and we homaged that, and it was one of the great moments I've ever had anywhere.
Mm. Now, have you actually sung on stage with any of your these folks from, I know not with Frank, but any of the folks from that era?
Well, I made a record with Rosie Clooney and got to perform with her a lot. And I have performed for Tony Bennett. They had a party for him earlier this year in Washington, D.C. that I was a part of and got to see him. And I've seen Tony. Tony's interesting because he walks around New York, you know, by himself at times. You know, you can see him on the street going to a store or something, and he's so accessible and such a great guy. And Natalie Cole, I got to make a record with her, be in the rhythm section on her Stardust record and talk to her, and she was really wonderful. She's just a great musician. So I've got a few of them I've gotten to actually be around.
It's kind of fun. Now, in terms of the contemporary people, some of the newer people out there, there are some folks who are singing stuff that kind of meshes a little bit with what you're doing. I know we had Josh Grobian on, who sings a little bit differently, but with a classic type of of voice. Are you fans of any of these people out there? Have you performed any of the contemporaries?
Well, I actually got to also record with Ricky Lee Jones. She did a record of standards, and also with James Taylor. I'm on his October Road CD and on his Christmas CD, which was really fun to do. He's just a magnificent musician. And Tom Wopat, who's an actor who made a great record of standards, too, called In the Still of the Night. That was a wonderful record. So I've gotten to be around some of the people that I really like, too. James Taylor, in particular, is someone that I was just so thrilled to record with.
He's a great singer and songwriter. And Tom Wopat, I've never actually heard his music. That's interesting. That I know him from his TV career.
Right, and he was on Broadway in Annie Get Your Gun, and so he ended up making a record that Russ Titelman produced called In the Still of the Night, which is a nice record of standards. It was really terrific.
You mentioned Christmas, and I know that I'm a big fan of Christmas music. I just love it. I can't get enough of it. In fact, there was a station in Boston that went all Christmas for a month before Christmas, and I love that music. But you actually have a Christmas collection called Let's Share Christmas, right?
I do, yes, and it's wonderful. Every track is arranged by a really top-notch arranger, from Johnny Mandel and Tori Zito, Don Sebesky, John Clayton, Patrick Williams, Claire Fisher, Michelle Legrand. It's a wonderful collection of arrangements, and the songs are just great Christmas songs. And Ralph Burns did two charts on it, too, who's originally from the Boston area. So it's a great example of contemporary writing and jazz songs in the Christmas style. You know, it's just great.
Talking with John Pizzarelli, who, of course, is a movie star since the late 90s when you were you and your trio were in Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin's film Out of Town, is doing, I think, that old Black Magic, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We did that.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also did a movie called Two Family House that had a little bit of success. We sang I'm Confessing over the credits, the beginning and the end, and that was really fun. It's interesting to see where my music has shown up. There was another very small film called 30 Days that one of my songs was on right at the very beginning over the credits, and they panned in and it comes all the way down and it goes into this liquor store on the corner of where I live. I didn't even realize it, and I saw the movie. I said, wait a second, that's, you know, and then my song was on the radio in that same liquor store that's on the corner of 90 and Lex in New York City.
It can be a small world sometimes.
It gets smaller by the minute.
Yeah, I guess it does. Now, Why the Nat King Cole? Why the Beatles? Why Sinatra? Are there other folks out there too that you have your eye on to maybe do a salute album to?
Yeah, I'd like actually. You know, people keep mentioning Bing Crosby, and I like Mel Torme, and I think also I haven't done any real songbook records. I'd love to do a Johnny Mercer record, a Duke Ellington record, I'm also contemplating some.
Well, like Gershwin. Gershwin.
Yeah, Gershwin too. I have actually a Gershwin show that I've done with the Pops, and that I have like arrangements for. So Gershwin is always right up there. I've recorded so many of the better songs, or the one, not the better ones, but I've recorded a number of Gershwin over the years. So because I've always been a fan. So they.
I know you did. I Got Rhythm. I know that's one of them.
Yeah, I Got Rhythm, and they can't take that away from me. And but not from me, I've recorded. So I love Gershwin. I've loved Gershwin from the beginning. So, and Love Is Here to Stay. I made a record called Love Is Here to Stay. So
right?
that's another one too.
Yeah. So that actually would be a good target for you. I think that I was thinking about that. That Gershwin would be the one I would go with if I was you. But
yeah, he's so enmeshed in jazz too. I mean, it's just all about rhythm and. Mm. And that kind of thing. And the lyrics that Ira wrote are so smart. So that would be a good combination.
Did you ever get any reaction from any of Nat King Cole's family or Frank's or even any of the Beatles' families when you did their stuff?
No, nobody, not yet from the Sinatra family, but I did actually speak to Maria Cole, Nat's widow,
mm-hmm.
and she was very complimentary about my group. And when Nat King Cole went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of all places, Natalie Cole mentioned Diana Krall and I in her speech about her father's music, which I thought was very sweet. So they're aware of me out there, and they've been very sweet to me.
Well, of course, it's nice for them, too, when his music continues on through someone else's voice.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's also, you know, it just shows you that music is timeless, you know, for songs that were written in the early 40s to still be performed, 50, 60 years later and still have a fresh sound to it. It's a tribute to the writers and also the legacy of Nat Cole.
I try to talk with my teenage children who tell me that the Beatles and Elvis Presley were lame, that we'll see if any of these contemporary people are even heard of 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
Well, you know, the Beatles, it's funny. My daughter saw a year ago, she was, she's 8 years old now, and a year ago she saw the movie Hard Day's Night at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came home and said, "Who are those four guys? That's just the most amazing thing I ever saw." And I said, "Well, here," I went into my CD rack, I said, "Here's 8 records. You listen to them." And she hasn't been the same. She just loves the Beatles. You know, she knows all the songs and listens to them, and it's amazing their effect on people, in different generations.
It is nice that your daughter did that. Mine, when I put it on, they go, "Will you get rid of that crap and put back on, Eminem, please," or this other crap that they got out there. It's just amazing. I mean, you know, some of the contemporary stuff out there, even some of Eminem stuff, some of 50 Cent, I like, actually.
Right, uh-huh.
But, you know, is it going to be around 30 years from now? Doubtful.
Right. That's the thing. You know, there's a lot of music that's made for the moment and made for the dollar, and then there's the music that you'll listen to for the rest of your life. Yeah, yeah. My father actually saw a documentary on Jimi Hendrix the other day.
Mm-hmm.
80-year-old Bucky Pizzarelli said to me last night, "I haven't heard guitar played like that guy can play some guitar." And so this is 40 years later, Bucky Pizzarelli telling me about Jimi Hendrix.
That's
so it's
funny.
Pretty interesting.
John Pizzarelli has the new CD out. It's called Dear Mr. Sinatra, and it's from Telarc Records, and it features Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. How did you decide which 11 songs to include? The Sinatra library is so huge.
Well, I there were a number that I had right off the bat. Witchcraft, the Don Sebesky chart of Witchcraft, I had in my book. We had Don had written it as a tribute to Cy for Cy Coleman had just passed away, and we used it in a big band date. Ring-a-ding-ding, I always liked that song, and John arranged it for a gig that I did with the band a couple years ago. And I always liked Last Dance, Nice and Easy. I had a new lyric for, written by Alan Bergman, to go with his original lyric. And so I had sort of the idea of songs that were written for Sinatra. I had the Quincy Jones arrangement of We Small that hadn't been performed but for 2 times in the 60s. So I had a lot of great things to be the foundation of the record. And then I just filled it in with things that I know Sinatra had recorded, but things that I really liked, like How About You and Yes, Sir, That's My Baby.
I find it interesting in a couple ways. Yes, Sir, That's My Baby's from, I think, the Strangers in the Night album, which
yes,
is one of the first ones I purchased of his albums. But the songs that you have here are a good mix. There are some, like Witchcraft and I've Got You Under My Skin, that are legendary, that everybody knows, it's played all the time. Others that you don't really hear too much, and that's kind of a nice idea, rather than to have all stuff that's the most popular he's ever done.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be able to reinvent Fly Me to the Moon or Come Fly With Me or My Kind of Town. You know, they're fun to play, but whether or not you can do anything different with them is another story, and I think some of those things get played to death, and there was just nothing I could do to make them mine, you know.
Right. I think that's a smart way to go about it.
Oh,
John, you also have a website. It's johnpizzarelli.com.
Uh-huh.
And can folks buy the CD there?
They can buy it there, and they can find it in stores. And whenever they do find it, they should buy in bulk.
Buy one for each member of the family.
Exactly.
And now, John, is your schedule up there as well?
Yes, the tour schedule's there. There's a discussion board. There's all sorts of great things there. So
it's johnpizzarelli.com, and the new CD is called Dear Mr. Sinatra, and I can't wait to hear Dear Beatles and Mr. Cole and all the rest of them.
Oh, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure talking to you, John, and hopefully we'll do it again.
Go Red Sox.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.